Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you. You've been sat down a bit quiet for a while, so I'm going to ask you a few questions to start with. In fact, it's the same question over and over again. So the first one is quite a simple question. Which is greater? Is it £5 or is it £100? Simple maths. Anyone? £100. Well done, Olivia. That's the correct answer. Yeah, one person knew that. Let's try another one. Oh, 1 mile or 1 kilometre, which is greater? Oh, very good. Right, we're going on the go now. Right, next one. Two-thirds or three-quarters? Three-quarters. Brilliant. Next one. Tottenham, Arsenal or Chelsea?
Tottenham.
Some people won't care about this, but the right answer is, in fact, Tottenham. Next one. Starbucks or Costa? I hate coffee, so no, I don't like any of them. We'll go to the next one. Bake Off or Match of the Day? I think that was Bake Off. Gosh. Okay, next one. Being single or being married? Perfect. That's exactly the response I was hoping for. So, I've already been listening to you guys or what you think about singleness and marriage, because what we think is in what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. So I've already been paying attention. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. We're going to be addressing our perspective on singleness. And so to do that, I'm going to contrast two perspectives on singleness and marriage. And the reason I'm going to look at singleness and marriage is that our view on marriage and relationships directly affects the way that we view singleness. So both if you're single, the way you view marriage and relationships will affect how you view yourself and your single status. And if you're married or in a relationship, the way you view relationships will affect how you view and speak to and speak of single people. So the two perspectives I'm going to contrast are what our culture says about singleness and marriage, and then we're going to look at Paul in 1 Corinthians and what he was saying about marriage and singleness to the Corinthians. We're not looking at Proverbs. We have been going through a series on Proverbs, but this was a standalone topic that we were going to be talking about anyway. So, and it's been in the pipeline for a year and a half. So we finished with Proverbs. Today is singleness, and then next week we'll move on to something else. Okay, so starting with what our culture says about singleness and relationships or marriage. And I'm going to share from my perspective, I guess, and what I've kind of heard or seen from our culture. And it's kind of easy to find out what our culture thinks of different things. We can watch movies, we can check what's being said on TV, we can listen to music, a lot of media will reflect our culture. Or we can listen to people, as I said, what's in our hearts comes out of our mouths, and I've been listening. So when I got to St. Bees when I was 23, 2003, I'm going to try and say this gently, but I kind of felt like listening to a lot of the girls in their 20s that there was a big thing about being single. They might be working and have like fulfilled life, but there's this big missing thing. And the common thing they talk about or pray about is, where's this guy? And there seems to be quite a lot of maybe discontentment or maybe not feeling like whole or full yet without this guy. And I kind of swore to myself that I wouldn't be like that. And I thought, I'm just going to live my life. And if there's a guy, there's a guy. If there's not, there's not. And so I kind of bucked up against that a little bit. And then when you watch movies, we get the, as it says out there, happily ever after. So particularly kind of chick flicks, but movies that represent relationships, they often, you know, the guy gets the girl and the girl's then, you know, happy and not on the shelf anymore. And the movie kind of ends there. It doesn't then go often onto the challenges and the hard bits of a relationship, and everyone's happy. Or you can watch, I watch First Dates. Does anyone watch First Dates? Yeah, you do. So if you don't, and you don't know what it is, it's quite simple. They select, they match people to have a first date together, and they do it on TV. Why not? And before some of the dates, the people will kind of speak to the camera and say what they feel about why they're there and who's the person they're looking for. And sometimes it makes me really sad when they kind of say, look, you know, I don't know, I'm in my 30s and this isn't how I imagine life to be. And all my friends, they're all married off and got children, and I don't. And I don't know what's wrong with me. They seem that if they're not in a relationship, there's something inherently wrong with them. And they're looking for this other half and hoping that maybe they'll meet them. They'll find this relationship, this other person to validate them. So the message that I feel I've got, you might be different, but I've got from people and the media, is if you're not with someone, if you're not in a relationship, you're lacking something. You might not be complete. And our relationship status seems to be, in our culture, a strong factor in our value, about how we value ourselves and our value of others. If you're in a relationship, it shows you're accepted and desirable and loved. And therefore, if you're not, you can often feel the opposite. And I rarely find single people who are content. Some, yes, but often people who are in relationships seem to be more content. And the other thing I noticed about single people is we're kind of looking for a quarter. Keep calm and wait for Mr. Right. They're looking for Mr. or Miss Right or Mr. Perfect or something to come along and to satisfy that desire or to give them this thing they're looking for. So, you know, you ask, oh, so do you have your list of, you know, of what you're looking for in a person? And that list tends to be what they're looking, the person they're looking for to satisfy that need or to validate them. And maybe a bit of entitlement of, you know, this is what I want and I think I should get it. And I rarely hear people talking about the type of girlfriend or boyfriend they want to be, or the type of husband or wife they want to be to the person that they're hoping to be with. So just in like quick summary of that part of what I've seen is that being single isn't necessarily popular. It's maybe seen as you're lacking something, and if you are single, it can feel like, maybe you're not accepted or loved, and you're hoping for this relationship so that you can feel that. So people are wanting relationship and they're wanting value. But is there anything wrong with that? We're designed for relationship and we're designed for value. We're designed to know how perfectly loved we are. And if you read the Bible from beginning to end, if you haven't read it from beginning to end, spoiler alert, basically it's about how amazing God is and how amazing you are and how much he loves you. And how he wants to have a relationship with you and all this relationship offers, that he wants to bring you freedom and fullness and all that kind of stuff. So us wanting relationship and us wanting to be validated and know our value, I think is a God-given thing. And he is the answer. He's wanting us to go to him. He wants this relationship. He wants to love you perfectly. So when we're looking for Mr. Perfect, there is a perfect person and perfect love available for us. We're designed for it. And we can only get that in God. It's in a relationship with God that we find out that we are lovable, we are desired, we are wanted, we are cared for, we are loved perfectly, whether you're single or married or in a relationship or whatever. But I think sometimes the temptation can be to replace that with almost the immediate gratification of a relationship or a human being, basically. Our, as I said, our kind of cultural view of relationships is a little bit romanticized. Is that a word? Romanticized? Yeah. This idea of falling in love and this other person, they complete me and we're going to live happily ever after. And with this love, we're never going to annoy each other. It's going to be perfect. And did you just laugh, Luke? Okay, thought you did, maybe you didn't. But this idea of this almost quick fix And like, if I've got this person, I will feel better. The movies don't, as I said, they don't show the hard work. Luke and I have been together for 4 months, and I'll tell you more about that later, but I've been asking married people in particular, what advice would you give us as people like going out with each other? Because now you've gone through that bit, and you're married, and you've gone through other bits. And most of what I'm hearing is, this is quite hard stuff. So be thinking already, why? Why are you doing this? What are you doing it for? Why this person? How can you love them and stuff? So it's kind of, be asking the big questions now. Don't just sit in the, this is going to last forever kind of phase. So they're telling us about the hard work already. And I think if we look at the state of relationships, we'll see that this happily ever after thing doesn't always stick. It doesn't always end so happily and forever after. Unfortunately, the divorce rate and the number of broken relationships is kind of high, over 50%, so something's not working. And then you might hear people say things like, oh, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore, which highlights this romantic idea of, yes, the feelings have gone, and so I'm going to leave you. Well, if you ask me, that's not very loving, so you don't really love them. It was they're not giving you anymore what you needed from them, which was this feeling. But God is the source of what we need. He's created to be that way. And just like developing any other relationship, developing a relationship with God isn't necessarily immediate and kind of easy. Hence, it could be easier to just get these nice feelings from this nice person who's next to us. But from my experience, I want to say that it's worth it. And if we want to be healthy and live life to the full, whether we're single or married or in a relationship or whatever, the primary source of that is Jesus and a relationship with him. And personally, I've been building up my relationship with Jesus over the last kind of, I was Christian before, but really the last 13 years since I've been at St. Bees has been a real journey into this. And it's been hard. He's kind of stripped me of things. The things that people say validate us and give us meaning, I guess, or something. Kind of the main things, relationships, money, job. He kind of stripped them away. But I said, yes, fine, strip them away. And from that, then through different things he's led me through, I've had to depend on him and get to know him in other ways to put him in the center. And now, from my experience, that satisfaction of knowing him has fulfilled in a way that nothing else that the world has said would do has done. But it's been a real journey. It hasn't been easy. And then there's times where it's still not easy. And I see it a bit like a steam train. Have you ever tried to get a steam train going? No, neither have I. But I just imagine if you do. They're like big and heavy. And so trying to get it moving and stuff, it's going to take a lot of work. Get those coals in, get them lit. And until you get the train to momentum, it's going to take a lot of hard work. But once you get that momentum, then you just keep putting the coals in and it will keep kind of running. I guess it might go through hard bits, but, you know, that's kind of the idea. But if you don't get this big train up to momentum, you're putting all your energy, your effort in, and it's still not getting, you don't get it up to momentum, it's you're losing your energy, and you're trying to lug this big, heavy train. So it's going to be exhausting. And I think sometimes when I hear people talk about their relationship with God, they kind of say, oh, I don't have enough time. I don't know like how to do it, or praying seems really dull, or stuff like this. And it sounds to me like it hasn't pushed through to get to the point where it's built up momentum and you just keep putting the coals in and this train is like soaring. And that, it's that relationship, it's worth it to put the effort in. It's not immediate, like falling in love with someone. But putting that effort in and pushing through in that relationship, that is where you'll find that validation, that you're loved, that you're accepted. And that's where all the other things can then find their correct places in your life. Anything put in God's place, where it's relationship, money, job, whatever, if it's in God's place, then it's an idol. And God says, don't have any idols. Well, he says that because he loves us and he knows that those idols will not fulfill the role that he has in our lives. And in Ephesians, Paul prays for the Ephesians, and he prays that they would know how high, how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ. And that is what we need to know as well. So just in summary on that point, we do need relationship and we do need value. And culture may tell us that we need it through a person, and if you don't have a relationship, that you're lacking. That doesn't leave us in a good place. It's not good for our relationships, and it's not good for people who stay single. The message that they will get is that they're not enough, and that's not true. So that's looking quickly at culture, and in my experience, what I found culture says about singleness and relationships. And now we're going to contrast that with Paul's perspective. So Margaret's going to give us a reading, which is from 1 Corinthians, if you want a Bible, if you stick your hand up, please, I'm going to bring one. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 to 9, and then 25 to 35.
So, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And moving on to verse 25. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord. But I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who are married should live as if they were not, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord.
Thanks, Margaret. Okay, so we're going to, just keeping in mind what culture says about singleness and marriage, and then contrast that with what Paul says, saying to the Corinthians here. So if we go to the next slide. There was quite a lot there, so what I've just done is picked out a few things to give a flavour of what Paul is saying about marriage and singleness to the Corinthians. So starting with what he says on marriage, first, it's a concession for sex. So he says the first thing we heard, it's better to not have sex, basically. What do you think of that? Not a lot. Okay. So when Paul was sharing with the Corinthians, as we heard, there was a crisis going on. There was a lot of sexual immorality. So understanding that context, but I don't think it's that different than our context now. We're kind of sex-obsessed and watch it on our phones and tablets and computers at home. So probably on a par, maybe, for the Corinthians. I'm just highlighting that bit just to remind us of what Olivia said, that on Wednesday we have this Let's Talk About Porn thing. And we may say, yeah, that doesn't, what we do in private doesn't affect other people, but it does, namely children. So we can find out more about that on Wednesday. But coming back to Paul, he says, yeah, it's better to not have sex, but if you have to do it and you can't control yourselves, then get married. So, okay. Because the Bible tells us that sex is to be, the best place for it is, well, it's designed to be within marriage. So if you can't do without it and you're burning with passion, get married. So a concession for sex. Then you'll face many troubles in this life. So going from, we're going to live happily ever after, contrast with, you're going to have troubles. And then contrast with, where's Mr. Right to fulfill my little list, to fulfill me, to, it's about pleasing your spouse, not you. And so what about when you get through that phase of lovey-doveyness, and then you've got to decide, you know, who are you going to put first, you or them? It's not easy. But he also says it's your choice. From what he's saying through this passage, is what I hear him saying is, if you get married, you're not sinning. If you don't, you're not sinning. I'm just saying that my thought is that if you don't, you do better. And I think the reason that Paul's view on marriage and singleness is quite different to ours and our culture is because he has a very different perspective on life. If we pop to the next slide, he says, oh no, can we go to the one before? Okay, this is a different order. So can we jump two slides and we'll come back to that one? Yeah, that one, thank you. So in it, you may remember that he said in verse 29, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short, for this world in its present form is passing away. And Paul, we know from his other writings too, we know about Paul, I think he really did grasp the love of God. Like, he really did know that he is loved, that he knew who he was, he's validated. He doesn't need this other person to do it for him. And when he's talking in Ephesians about, I pray that you will know the love of Christ, he knows this love, and he knows that time is short, that he's not going to be on the earth very long, and he's wanting to use that time to know God, to be, he says, like, in the Lord's affairs, and to make that known to other people. So I think his perspective, often our perspective, can be on today and how I'm feeling and this kind of thing, the kind of, I don't know, kind of our own narrative. But he understands the bigger picture of God's love, and that time is short, and therefore to be wise about how to use our time. So if we go back then to the previous slide, and one more again, I think. Yeah. Actually, we'll go to the single one. So the next slide. You're very good at this, thank you, patience. Okay, so now we're going to look at what Paul says from these passages on singleness. So the first one is free from concern. And he says, you're free to be concerned about the Lord's affairs and how to please him. So it's not just, oh yeah, you're free to be free from concern. It's not like happy wife, happy life. You can just focus on yourself. But he's saying that because the love of God is so amazing, you can be focused on that. You have enough time to spend with him and then respond to what he's calling you to do, to share that kind of with other people. And I just want to add in this, like, if you are single, and people often say, well, if you're single, you can do lots more stuff. You've got loads more time to do things. And we're in a very doing culture. But the Lord's affairs are also to be spending time with him. He says, you know, remain in me and I'll remain in you. So that is a positive of being single. Yes, you can have more time to spend with him, but don't just be doing, 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 because that's a cultural thing as well. The next one, he says, I wish that everyone could be like me. Well, Paul, we're not. So I do want to bring this back to, okay, culture says this, Paul says, basically, do without if you can. But if we look at who Paul is and what he's like, we might be a little bit different. So just to bear that in mind, if you read this and think, I can't do that, you know, I'm burning with passion, I want to get married, you might be different to Paul. I don't think he was. We see that he went through things like he got shipwrecked and he got beaten up and he got flogged and put in prison. And when he was put in prison, he says that he worshipped and praised God. And I don't know about you, but when I have a bad day, you break your phone or something, you know, you get out of bed and everything just goes wrong. I don't know if you stop praising God and worshipping. But that's what Paul does. And he gets put in prison. It's like, pray, I don't know how he did it, but it says he praised God and worshipped him. And Paul is quite different to me. But Paul, when we read about him, we know he got revelations about Jesus. He was killing Christians, so he hated the whole Jesus thing, kill people that followed him. And then he has this massive revelation, completely changes him. And we can read about that in his writings. And then so he sees this love of God, and it just completely transforms him. And seeing about his life, I thought a few years ago, Paul has seen something that I haven't seen. I don't follow Jesus the way he does, through shipwrecks and prison, worshipping. He has seen something of Jesus that I haven't seen. And what I've tried to do since then is to push on again in this relationship with Jesus to get to know him better so I can begin to see even more and more of Jesus. I might not get to Paul's level, but I can know I can move on from where I am. So bearing in mind what Paul's saying about singleness and marriage, he wishes it could be for everyone, but I'm just highlighting to us, don't feel bad if you want to get married. We're not all like Paul. And then he says, but each one has his own gift. And so I would say from this that Paul is saying, you know, being single and being able to not get married is a gift. So if you're single and you don't choose to be single, if it's not your choice, and through time you know you've wanted a relationship and that hasn't happened, that's very different to Paul's situation. And I could say to you, like he says, he's learned to be content in any and every situation. And I've said, you know, we can push forward into this relationship with God, and it's him, through him we know we're loved, we know we're validated and accepted. But Paul, I think, is different because he has this gift. And not everybody, from what I've seen, who doesn't necessarily have this gift, they want to be married, gets married, or has this relationship. And that can be a very hard place to be in. If we go to the next slide, I just wanted to add this bit in, Genesis 2, 18, which says the Lord, he's talking about Adam and Eve, the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. We know from Matthew 22, 30 that it says that in heaven, people won't be given for marriage. So marriage isn't in heaven. It's just on the earth. And I think that when we get to heaven, those relationships will be fully known and fully know God, and that love will be complete, that we won't have this need to be kind of alongside other people quite in the same way, because we'll be complete in Christ. But while we're on the earth and we're not fully with Jesus, relationships aren't perfect and everything. There's this pointed out by Adam, the Lord said it's not good for him to be alone. And it isn't easy for us to be alone. I will highlight that Adam was the only man on the earth, which we're not, so it's slightly different. And he gave him Eve, obviously, as this helper. And so we have each other. We're not like Adam, the only person. But I just want to highlight this, that it is hard to be alone. And yes, God is where we know we're loved, that's our closest relationship. But we can still have that desire to get married and to have this human relationship that is natural. And where that isn't met, that can be a hard, a hard thing for people to deal with. And as a church, I think we need to be supportive and loving and helping those people. So also, I just wanted to add to that, that marriage isn't guaranteed. As I said, it may be something that we desire and something that we want and something that is good, but it doesn't always happen. So as a summary, we have need for relationship and value. We're designed to get it from God first. Marriage can be hard work as well as this great blessing and about pleasing your spouse, not just about being fulfilled ourselves. But both marriage and singleness are equal. So I wanted to highlight that they've both got challenges. Single people have challenges that married people won't have, and married people have challenges that single people won't have. And then there'll be benefits that single people have that married people don't have, and then vice versa. But they are equal. They aren't, if you're single or married, it doesn't mean that you're any more valued or undervalued. Both are equal. But I think culture tells us, going back to the beginning, that it's better to be in a relationship. We're a whole relationship culture. Our culture is built around relationships, including often church culture. So going back to a little bit to do with Paul, if we go to the next slide, I wanted to ask, what is your purpose? So Paul, he was able to be single because, I said, he knew his purpose. He understood the bigger picture of time is short. He knew how much God loved him, and he knew what he was there to do. Now, if we know our purpose, our reason for living will dictate or influence all the other things that we do in our life. So our culture seems to say, basically, you've got one life, live it to the full. And so it's therefore about being happy. It's about being as happy as you can and live as long as you can. So happy and healthy. And if that's what you live for, that will affect the decisions you make and why you do certain things. So if you want to be happy, then things like we're told, get a job, earn as much money as you can, do this, do that, be in relationships, dot, dot, dot. But what if your purpose is different, like Paul? What if we think it's not that we have one life and live it to the full? And yes, time is short, but there's an eternity beyond that, which is to live with Jesus where things will be perfect. If we go on to the next slide, if you're single and wanting to get married, I don't know if you've been asked this question before, but if your purpose and what you live for will directly affect your reason to want a relationship, want to get married, and if it's as culture says, to be happy as long as you can, all that stuff, you'll probably be wanting to do, as I said in the beginning, a relationship to make you happy. Which, as Paul says, it's not quite working like that. It's, you know, it's about pleasing your spouse and it's going to be hard. It's not this happily ever after thing. So what is your purpose? Have you thought about that before? Can you sum it up? I mean, this affects every other area, what you do for work, your views on money and everything. So it's not just relationships. But I don't think anyone really asked me, you know, why would you want to get married? And I think it's a key question. I asked myself. So I think I've got a little bit of time. What I'll do now is explain a bit from kind of my story of singleness and relationships and all that kind of thing, and my own purpose, to share a bit about where these two perspectives fall in my life. And I'll try and figure out how much to share as I go along. But my purpose in life, to answer this question, is to know God better. So my response to why I get married, I mean, I can explain a lot of that, but why I get married is it's just the next step in to know God better. So when I came to St. Bees in 2003, I was 23, and I'd been in a six-year relationship, and it wasn't with a Christian, and we did the fall in love thing, and to be honest, I'd got to that point of, I'm not in love anymore. It didn't have the same feelings, and at St. Bees, people told me different things. Oh yeah, you should be with him, or you shouldn't, based on being a non-Christian, and I was just confused by it all, so I said to God, I'm going to stay with him unless you tell me not to. And God didn't give me any revelation. I just realized with a bit of time, I thought, he wants different things to me. And if I could, yeah, get married and have the happy day and live happily for a few years, but I knew that in a few years I would resent it and I'd think, well, like, who am I and what am I doing? I could see that happening. So I decided to leave during this discipleship year I was on at St. Bees. And I didn't know then that God was trustworthy. So I didn't cope with it that way. It was the right thing to do, but I turned to alcohol, not when I was with other people, but on my own when I get home, because I felt this emptiness. And so I would just like down some wine to take the edge off things. But there was an exciting part of it. I was like, now I can do anything. Whatever God calls me to, wherever, I can follow him. My heart isn't divided anymore. And I had a ring for my 21st birthday, which I put on my wedding finger. Is that what you call it? That one. So I went down to Tower Bridge, and I put it on my finger, not to say that I am engaged to Jesus or he's my boyfriend, but just to say it's just like a ring is a symbol of commitment. So just to say, God, in this area, I'm committing this to you. So now I could be single for the rest of my life. It's up to you. It's no longer in my hands. And then God called me abroad to go and serve in Bolivia. And when you go on mission abroad as a single girl, the chances are you're going to stay single. So I had to think that through and think, am I okay with that? And I was like, yep, that's no problem. I'll do that. After a bit of time there, I assumed then that, yeah, God had called me to be single. And then God said to me, he said, I didn't tell you that I want you to be single forever. You decided and put my name on it. And I was like, oh, true. Yeah, he didn't tell me that. And he said, I'm going to show you why you don't want to get married and what my design for marriage is. And he showed me a few things. One, I didn't believe in the happily ever after, because I'd seen about 3 or 4 marriages that I thought, yeah, that's something I'd want. The rest of it, I kind of thought, that all kind of looks like Paul says, kind of hard. The second thing is, you know, we all look for Mr. or Miss Perfect, and I'm not perfect. So I thought, and particularly in the church, they seem to go for, like, guys married the good girls and stuff, and I'm not perfect, so I probably wouldn't get married. Then, that there's no single guys in the church, or there's no, like, good ones. And then there's lots of girls. Apologies, single guys, it's not true. There are. It's just what I heard. Because there's a lot of girls, like, you know, dating and doing this stuff. And honestly, it's what they say. Like, and as I'm saying, this is not true. So I apologize on our behalf. But this is what I heard. You know, they're going out on these different dates and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, well, if there is some guy, well, one of these girls that's making some effort would probably get them. So, yeah, I just had in my head, God's called me to be single. And I was happy with that. And I wanted to avoid almost the vulnerability of relationships. And just to add in, when I got to Bolivia, a few months late in, God said to me, you're here primarily to get to know me better. You know when someone says something a bit stupid, you don't respond. And I just thought that was really stupid, so I didn't respond. I thought, I can't be abroad to be like getting to know God better. And St. Bees, which are paying half of the cost of me being there, and other people supporting me, you carry on working hard for me and I'll get to know God better. Like, doesn't quite work. But God's always right. So what happened was I was completely kind of weak, couldn't speak Spanish, didn't know what to do, had to get to know God and pray and rely on him in a way I hadn't done before. And then he showed me what to do, and it all worked out. So it's from there that I've got this purpose of life for me is about knowing God better. Through knowing him better, I know more about him, I know more about myself, and I know kind of what to do, and everything else kind of works around that. So I'm not going to give like whole relationship history, but then like to fast forward sometime. Actually, another thing that God said while I was in Bolivia was he said, the same as you had to give up your life in England to go and work abroad. So you had to give up your family, your language, your job, everything. So just as you had to give that up to continue learning and growing, hence I had to learn stuff like getting to know him better and learning and to trust him and all this stuff. So just the same as that, one day you're going to have to give up your single life to continue growing. So if you note the words there, give up your single life, it wasn't something I was really, you know, desperate to give up. And then about 2 years ago, when I was 34, one day, one Friday, I was like, oh, I'm ready to get married. And before then, I wasn't. I knew I was not ready to love another person. Like, God was doing so much in me. I thought, I don't have the space to be able to offer anything to anyone else. And then it got to the point, I was like, oh, I'm ready. But not that I wanted to. I wasn't looking. And then a year later, I was like, oh, I think I want to get married. And that, for me, was an awful day. For a couple of weeks to get over that, I thought, oh no, now I'm going to be one of those people who wants to get married, but there's no single Christian guys, apparently. And I was not happy with that at all. So again, I had to like deal with that with God. And then, just thinking what bit do you know? So then, Luke and I, we did a few of these speed dating things together because we weren't particularly like looking for someone, but we thought you better try something. So we did some of it, like that stuff. And I looked at this online dating thing, and I think it's a great idea. I think do whatever you can, whatever you want to get out there and stuff. But I'm really rubbish at anything electronic, so it was never going to work for me. I'm really bad at even replying to my friends, so I'm not going to be onlining stuff. And earlier in the year, I said to God, like, this is the way God works with me. He's like, okay, go there, do this, go to this country, move to this city, do this job. No, don't do this one, blah, blah. And I was like, that's how you work with me. You just be like, yeah, there's this guy, rather than me doing these other things. Not that there's anything wrong with him. It's just, it's not me. So I was talking this through with God, and I felt him saying, yeah, that stuff isn't for you. Just leave it. And so I think with working out this stuff, it's not that any particular dating system or whatever is right or wrong. I've heard different things and others saying, you can't just say to God, I'm not going to do anything, you have to bring him. And then some others don't like online dating. What I think is that it's about your relationship with God, hearing him. But I just said to God, yeah, this doesn't fit with me, how I operate, and it doesn't work with how you work with me. So I'm not going to look. I'm not going to do any dating stuff. I'm not going to do online stuff. And then like a few weeks later, Luke and I were... So Luke worked with me for 2 years, and we did not think about dating each other, or it didn't enter our minds, right? No, like not once. And then we had this conversation in a restaurant, and then he sort of said some things, and I was like, seeing how he developed and so had grown in certain areas, which sort of, I thought, oh gosh, that could be attractive. And I was like, what'd you do with that? So, like, long story short, normally guys, what girls would do is they'd go to their friends and say, oh my gosh, I just thought of this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you like Luke. And I went, no, I'm just... And then they'll say, but you and whatever. And before you know it, it's built in your head, yeah, girls? And the guys don't have a clue that this is in your head. I'm 36. No, I was 35 then. I'm not doing that. So I kind of sort of said to him-ish, like, okay, so we had more time to hang out. Basically, if we hang out more, I'm a girl, what could happen is I could like you, and if you get together with someone else, then I'd be upset, and I don't want drama. So I was just trying to cancel out in my mind that this is never going to happen, so I wouldn't allow any feelings to go, and it'd be fine. And took a few conversations with him to like get what I was sort of saying. And then he said, well, for him to figure out for himself, then we need to hang out more. And I'm thinking, but I'm just telling you, I need to hang out less or this could happen. Anyway, so we hung out. By the end of the week, it was just like clear to me, like this, and this stuff I hadn't realized before, that this could be a good thing. So by the end of the week, I already knew, which I hadn't had before. So basically, we got together. I think that's enough on that. And so, to be honest, it wasn't one of those like... For me, this is really helpful because I thought, how would I meet someone and know they're the right person without this falling in love thing? Because if I fall in love, I could fall in love with quite a lot of people and then go through all that stuff. So for me, that kind of worked well. in that because we knew each other so well, he'd already seen the good, the bad, the ugly, because I wasn't trying to, like, you know, impress him or anything. I was like, oh, gosh. You can't do the kind of, this is the nice me, and not show all the stuff. He'd already seen it. So, a little bit awkward. But then what I found, like, since then, it hasn't really been that easy, has it? It's been great, but because we kind of know each other so well, it's quite a big change. What I found is there's stuff coming up in me, and as I said, my purpose is to know God better. And there's stuff coming up to me in me for me to be able to choose to love him how I want to love him, vulnerability levels like coming up, as I would want to, or I think God would be calling me to. I'm having to go to God with stuff he's bringing up in me and, like, cry out to him and say, I don't know how to do this. And rather than me even wanting it all my way, like I'm trying, going to God, and he's having to work on stuff. It's like open heart surgery, and work on more stuff he hadn't opened up before. So already for me, it's like this challenge in knowing God better and learning how to love another person over myself. And I think the older you get, kind of the harder maybe that gets. So we're kind of going through this journey. And what I wanted to say is that I was full and content when I was single. And I was really looking forward to doing this sermon and saying, I am single and 36 and content. And it happened a bit too late. So I was 35 and single and content. And I'm not single, I'm content. But my contentment comes from God, and I'm having to make sure that I don't put Luke in God's place and try and find that contentment. Yeah, I'm not comparing you to God. Because that's the thing, that could be the temptation to look for it there and then to kind of forget that bit. But I'm working hard to make sure that that remains my purpose, that I remember that time is short, that I remember what this relationship is about. We will have to focus on our own bit. And then my hope is that then together we can, you know God better and serve God better and love others. So there we have it. Being in a relationship and being single are kind of two different states of being, I guess. They have different advantages and disadvantages, but they are all equal. So that's the main message that I want to kind of get across tonight, and that our fullness comes in Jesus, whether you're single or married. So if we could invite Andy, like, to begin to come back up. And I don't know where you're at, if you're single and you love it, or single and, you know, don't love it. It lands in, like, lots of different places. So I'd just invite you to, whatever God might be touching on you tonight, or even if, you know, if you're in a relationship or married and considering how do you view single people, how can you support them? So I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray, like, over us. And then Andy will carry on kind of with worship, and we'll have prayer ministry, and if anyone wants to come forward for prayer, then do feel free to do that. Holy Spirit, invite you here amongst us. Father, I thank you that you have created us for relationship, for fullness, to be loved, to be accepted. I thank you that we are desired by you. We are loved by you. We are made whole in you. Thank you, Lord. Nothing compares to the relationship that you have given us through Christ in you. I want to pray over us, Lord, that we would know how wide, how deep, how long is the love of Christ for us. I ask, Lord, that you would take us deeper into you wherever we're at, whatever our relationship status. I pray that we would know the hope to which we are called, the great inheritance that we have, the incomparably great power that we have in you. And I pray, Father, that you would pour out the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon us, that we would know you better. And I pray, Father, for anyone who is single here, Lord, and who finds that hard, or is even trying to work out that that relationship with you and what that desire means to them. Lord, I just lift us all into your hands, declaring that you are the one that we need, the one that we love. You are the one who knows and understands our hearts. And it's for you that we live. In Jesus' name.